the prophet Joel open in front of you. Is there anyone here this morning who enjoys receiving an early wake-up call? You know, when you've got to get up at 4 a.m. to go to the airport to go on holiday. Does anyone enjoy that wake-up call? One person does. Straight away. Is that because you're going on holiday? Yeah, it's because you're going on holiday. Do you enjoy getting up at 4 a.m.? Maybe not. Maybe not. Or maybe this morning you experienced that when you had an extra early alarm clock after all those weeks of Sunday morning lie-ins. It has been nice to have a Sunday morning lie-in, but you know, it's better to be back here. I think that while we understand the need for a wake-up call, very few of us enjoy them at the time, even if we know we are getting up for a good reason. But of course, the term wake-up call can be used in a different way as well. Sometimes we see an individual who is following a self-destructive pathway and we say they really need a wake-up call. Something that makes them stop to think and change direction. And sometimes when a wayward person receives a wake-up call, they do stop and change direction. But sometimes they carry on regardless and then reap the consequences of their behavior. In so many ways, COVID-19 is a wake-up call for us. And not only for us, but for our society, for the Western world, and the whole world. As people living in the Western world, even though we knew about historic plagues like Spanish flu and bubonic plague, we really thought that such diseases were simply a matter of history. We trusted in our vaccines, in our antibiotics, and the other clever treatments that we have to protect us from these things. We thought nothing like that would ever stalk our streets again. But truly, our bubble of complacent confidence has been burst. COVID-19 has reminded us all of the fragility of life and the fragility of our society. It has reminded us that there are some things that we just cannot control, and everyone has been affected in one way or another, ranging from disappointment and frustration as plans are cancelled, as we can't see our loved ones, through to those who have had the disease and are recovering. They have a long road ahead of them. And of course, for other people, there is that terrible pain of bereavement. We are living through unprecedented, troublesome times, and we cannot say that the worst is past. The virus could return, and even if it does not, we face an economic crisis in our near future. Our world has changed forever. Of course, for the Christian, while the world around us may have changed, it may have been shaken, our foundation, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, still stands strong. Nothing can wash away the rock beneath our feet. But I'm sure many of us have wondered and asked the question, what is God doing through COVID-19? What can we learn from this, and how should we respond? Well, to answer these questions, we can turn to the pages of Scripture, to a little known and often overlooked Old Testament prophet who lived through times when God sent a different kind of wake-up call to his people. The book of Joel, or Joel. Joel is one of those little books that most of us struggle to find. Many of us know that it's somewhere between Ezekiel and Matthew, so we flick through the pages of the Bible until we come across it. And sometimes we have to do this a few times because it's only 3 chapters long. It's a very small book. Did anyone struggle to find it without looking at the index? However, despite its short length, this is a really important Old Testament book because it is often quoted by other books in Scripture. And for us today, it really does contain a message that we need to hear. Its overall message is a response to a national crisis. It starts with a call to lamentation and repentance, and then it turns to the Lord's promises about how he will protect and rescue his people. One commentator summarizes the message as, "Judgment day is approaching, so sincerely repent, call on the name of the Lord, and you will be blessed." Clearly, this is a message that we need to pay attention to. So God willing, we will work through it over the next 4 weeks. We're starting off with chapter 1, so let's turn our attention there. In this book, we see straight away God has sent 2 wake-up calls to the people of Israel. Firstly, a natural disaster which is devastating the land. It's disrupting the daily worship of God, and something has happened which has stripped the nation of all of its joy. And secondly, the second wake-up call is that God has sent a prophet, Joel, whose name simply means Yahweh or Jehovah is God. Now, we know virtually nothing about this man except his father's name. And we don't even know what era of history this is dealing with. All those details have been removed. But what we do know is that the nation is in trouble. Like a blaring alarm clock, Joel is shaking different groups of people awake. First of all, the elders, those with the long memories, those who can confirm that nothing like this has ever happened before. Then he turns to those who are slumbering the deepest, the drunkards, who are usually oblivious to anything that is happening outside of their immediate horizons. And we need someone to shake these people awake in our land today, because I think there's a lot of people with very sore heads this morning. Then Joel turns to the priests, who have been deeply affected by this natural disaster. In fact, the supply of food has been interrupted so that the worship of the temple has had to stop. Then finally, he turns to the farmers, those who have been impacted most immediately because the Lord has sent 2 things. He has sent a drought and a giant swarm of locusts into the land. Now, Israel was very familiar with locusts. They had 9 different names for locusts, which is a sure way of recognizing that they are really unhappy with them. When you've got lots of names for one thing, most of those names are derogatory. Now, usually locusts are just giant grasshoppers, which live a solitary existence. But occasionally, in years of drought, when there's a lack of water, they join together and form swarms, which can contain billions of individuals and fly thousands of miles. A locust swarm will eat all of the vegetation in any region that it lands in. It strips the ground bare and deprives both people and animals of food. Their numbers are so vast that virtually nothing can be done to stop them. And even today, locusts are a problem. How many of us are aware that right now, East Africa is fighting giant swarms of locusts in addition to COVID-19? There was a very good documentary on BBC the other night, which is still available on iPlayer about this. It was one of the Our World series, and it was talking about Africa or Kenya's lotus hunters. It's well worth watching if you've got the time. They are facing huge problems as locusts are stripping the ground bare. Just imagine facing COVID-19 while locusts are eating all of your crops and you have no money to buy the limited supply of food that is available in the shops. That's the situation in East Africa at the moment. So much worse than we are. So these are people that we really need to be keeping in our prayers. Going back to Joel, the locusts have invaded Israel, and the prophets and people know God well enough to understand that everything that happens is under his control. As they watch the temple grind to a halt, their crops disappear, their favorite plants, that vine and fig tree, which were their pride and joy, they just see that disappear into the gullets of a swarm of ravenous insects. All these people can do is turn to God. The people would know why this was happening. Under the old covenant, sin was punishable by certain natural disasters, which included a locust plague. The people had not been keeping their side of the covenant, so God sends them this wake-up call. And you see the sort of wake-up calls that God sends if you look at chapters like Deuteronomy 28 and verse 38 and 42, specifically mention locust plagues. Clearly, the people need to turn back to God. But before the prophet leads them in repentance, he does something else. He leads them in a lament. A lament is a heartfelt cry to God, rooted in deep anguish. It is the cry of the broken heart. It looks at a situation. It recognizes that the person is helpless and also acknowledges that God is in charge and what has happened is under his control. So the people pour out their hearts and just tell the Lord what is happening. They tell the Lord how much they are suffering. And this deep anguish lays the foundation for true and genuine repentance. To repent is to turn away from the wrong road and to start doing what is right. Just because we are so stubborn at times, we often really need to feel the pain and consequences of our actions before we turn back to God. So Joel instructs the people to lament. He calls the priests to set an example, wearing sackcloth and calling a fast and solemn assembly for the whole nation. They gather together to call on the Lord and ask for grace and mercy, because that is the best that they can hope for. They know they have done things wrong. They now need grace and mercy. Because this locust plague is a warning of a greater punishment that will come on the people. The day of the Lord. In the Old Testament, the day of the Lord is the day of the Lord's judgment. And throughout the Old Testament, we see many days of the Lord, like the locust plague that we have here. Then bigger ones, like when the nation is taken into exile. And there is still one more enormous day of the Lord to come. The day on which Jesus will judge the world, banish the devil, banish sin and death, and bring the new heavens and the new earth. Before that time, every natural disaster that happens is a reminder that God is still in control. And it is a situation that should be greeted with the lament that leads on to genuine repentance. For us today, this situation in Joel is very similar to what we face. The public worship of God has ceased for months and is only now allowed in a limited way. For a while, there were food shortages. You couldn't get flour for weeks, despite the best efforts of our supermarket staff. And today, as we look to the future, many face economic hardship and the joy of the people has been stripped away. You don't see many happy people in the streets at the moment, do you? Now, people who adopt that secular mindset that eliminates God from the equation will never stop and ask the question, what is God doing? They will just carry on regardless and they will return to their old ways. They will not learn their lesson. They will not heed the wake-up call that God is sending. COVID-19 is clearly a call for people to turn back to God and repent while there is still time. Each day takes us a day closer to the return of the Lord, to the day of the Lord. As we look around us, we see creation groaning ethically and morally. Our nation, along with many other nations, has abandoned God's standards. Our society is descending into anarchy. The clock is ticking. And clearly, this wake-up call is not just for the unbelievers of the world. As Christians, we have been deeply affected. Judgment has started with the house of God's people. It has been hard not being able to meet together again. Now, it's true that we have been blessed with technology that allows us to stay in touch, but it's not the same as meeting together. Judgment has touched the Lord's people. Fortunately, as believers, we know the message of Joel. We know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we recognize that the Lord does discipline us when we are going in the wrong direction. This is just as much a wake-up call for us as it is for those around us. So before we turn to repentance, let us follow the pattern that the prophet Joel has set out so that we lament before we repent. Over the next week, spend some time in prayer. Talk to the Lord about the things that have been happening. Lift up those that you know who have suffered deeply from this. Share your own experiences. There have been terrible things going on. So many people have been scarred by this disease. Remember those who have got mental health issues. The number of people with mental health issues has gone through the roof. Remember those who are terribly lonely, while at the same time too scared to go out and meet with others. Remember those who have faced disappointments and changed plans. Our young people have had their exams cancelled, and that causes a huge question mark for their future. Many people have had to postpone marriages, house moves, and now all around us people are facing the threat of redundancy. These are terrible times and people are really hurting. We need to be lamenting and holding these situations before the Lord, while also asking him to reveal to us any areas of our lives that we need to change. We need to remember that the Lord sends us a wake-up call because he loves us and does not want us to go in the wrong direction. He sends us a wake-up call for our own good, to get us moving again in the way that he wants. Let us each ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts so that we can understand just what the Lord is saying to us. Then when we understand, let us respond so that we are moving in the right direction, which is being people who have the mind of Christ, conformed to his image, filled with love and compassion for the people around us, ready to share the good news of the gospel, to serve the Lord, and to seek to help those who are struggling. The Lord has called us to be his people during these times. He had decided that we would live through these events. So let us not ignore his wake-up call, but rather let us get up from our slumber, listen to the Lord's voice, and be the people he has called us to be. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we do acknowledge that this terrible COVID-19 pandemic is your wake-up call to the world. A reminder that you do not turn a blind eye to sin. A reminder that you are in control. So we do just want to pray that you help each one of us to learn this lesson and turn back to you and get right with you. We know in many ways each one of us is not what we should be. So we do just pray that you guide us and direct us so that we make the changes in our lives, which means that we will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, in these days, be ready to share the glorious news of the gospel with the people around us. It is the gospel which is the only thing that can save people from a lost eternity. So help us, Heavenly Father, to be ready to talk to people. And we pray, dear Lord, that you help us to examine our hearts so that if there are any areas that we need to change, we will change. And help us, Lord, to be filled with compassion for those who are hurting all around us. Help us, Lord, to find the ways that you want us to help reach out to help these people in need. Father God, we long to be your people here in this corner of Hindburn. So we do just pray that you guide and lead us. Amen.